The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
There was an incident around the old radio ranch here at the Blaze, and one of my fellow employees was a little bit hurt. And I just want to clear the air so there will be no hard feelings. I mean, I hate to do this stuff, but I'd rather just get it out in the open. Deal with it, and then move beyond it, and we can never speak of it again. But I think in order to get beyond the issue, it's important that we just put it out in the open and get beyond it.
Are you talking physically hurt or emotionally hurt?
Emotionally.
Someone got
emotionally.
Their feelings hurt?
Yeah, but I think when you hear it, you'll understand it was pretty legit. And I just, I think this deserves an apology. So,
from you? You hurt someone?
No. Chris Cruz was a little bit upset by something that happened.
I don't want to talk about it.
I just want to get it out in the open.
But I just don't want to talk about it.
I know you don't want to, but I think it's important to. Chris was a little bit upset the other day at lunch. Would you care to explain what happened?
So, you know, we always talk about culture here.
Mm-hmm.
And you share your culture every morning when you make some kimchi and all this other stuff. Falafel brings falafel and all his weird stuff.
What?
And
I
then
never brought falafel or anything.
I bring, you know, some of my cuisine, which is, you know, fried plantains, fried bananas, beef, side salad, you know, some rice and some cheese. And I serve it to you, to Adam, Cal, serve a little bit by me, Pat Gray, Carmen. I'm literally serving plates left and right, you know, slaving over the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And
you made it?
We're eating. And all of a sudden, Cal just stands up and says, oh, wait a minute, Sarah's calling me. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And 10 minutes turned to 30 minutes, 30 minutes turned to an hour turns into an hour and a half, and he didn't eat it.
So you made him food, and Cal didn't
eat it. He didn't
eat it. Excuse me, I had some when you brought it over, but I think there's a bigger issue here that I know I didn't want to say anything, but I guess since we're sharing, I'll share
just
too.
Just get it out there. I mean, like, I just want to get beyond all this. I mean, so hang real quick, just to recap, Chris said, hey, I want to share my cuisine and brings
culture.
In food. Culture, the cuisine from my culture.
I don't remember it exactly like that. It's just to, okay.
And then lays it out there and Cal snubs it, but it's okay.
Apparently I bring falafel, but if I ever did bring falafel, I wouldn't force it on people. You know, it's like,
whoa, I did
excuse
not.
Excuse me, you had your turn.
No,
did you
no,
not
no,
have your
no,
turn?
No, no, no.
You had your turn.
I did not. I did
you
not.
You had your turn
it.
And you talked.
See, this
I think
is
it's my turn to talk.
I didn't want
to
bring it up.
This is my turn to talk. I didn't say anything
when
you talked.
You don't believe in forced falafel.
I don't believe in forced anything.
You're not into.
I don't want to force.
You're not a falafel forcer.
I don't want to force anything on anyone. You know, that's what the radicals do.
Right, exactly.
I'm not a radical.
Oh, wow. I'm a radical.
Well, I didn't exactly, you know, ask for the Puerto Rican food.
Right, that's true. That's true.
I didn't say, "Hey, excuse
wow.
me, will you please give me some Puerto Rican food?" I didn't.
Wow.
I didn't say that. I don't remember saying that. Do you remember saying that? Because I didn't remember saying that.
This is a safe zone, Cal. Let it out.
I'm being honest right now. I didn't. Yeah. I don't remember saying, "Hey, I would really like some Puerto Rican food right now." I don't remember saying that. And all of a sudden, a plate is plopped in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Usually, you know? When a plate comes in front of you,
right.
You know, you say, "Hey, thank you for sharing your culture with me." And no, I would not like. I would like to eat right now. You know, and just push it away.
Well,
instead,
I didn't want to be rude. I wasn't raised to be rude.
Instead of having one bite, putting the plate down,
dropping the fork, walking away.
I didn't have. I ate some of it because I didn't want to be rude.
My parents taught me not to be rude.
Then I got called away. I can't help when someone says, "Hey, I need to talk to you right now." Yeah. You know, when my boss comes and says, "Hey, I need to talk to you," I have to go.
Oh, now she's your boss.
First she was your sister and your friend.
Now she's your boss.
She's always my boss.
She said she's like a sister to us.
Yeah. She's like a sister. Yes, yeah. She's my boss like a sister.
So let me ask you. You're saying in Puerto Rican culture. That's seen as a big insult.
Oh, that's
to not share the banana.
That's not sharing a plantain. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now that we know that, you know.
So it's Puerto Rican culture to force your views on other people. Is that what it is? Force you to things.
It's not forcing.
Oh,
it's actually being grateful.
I mean, here he was slaving in the kitchen. Yeah. He was slaving in the kitchen.
Okay, that's a bit.
And by the
that's
way,
a bit exaggeration. I don't think I've ever seen Chris Cruz slave over anything.
Co-workers here, but Pat Gray, when he tasted it,
he loved him some plantain.
I had to literally pull it out of his hands.
Okay, Pat.
Hey, buddy. It's a family style.
And you know what I think that is?
What?
I think because Pat respects you as a man.
He respects
me. And he respects the Puerto Rican culture.
And my culture.
Everybody knows Pat Gray loves the Puerto Ricans.
Does that mean everybody loves? So let's say,
and
you know.
How many times have I encountered Pat in the last 6 months? We had like those one-on-one. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maybe that was like the third time. Not because he doesn't like me, it's because he's busy.
And what was it? That was a bonding moment.
It was a real
bonding
moment.
Let's say you don't like blood sausage.
I love the blood sausage.
Let's just say you don't like blood
but
sausage.
But I can't.
All right, pick some. What don't you like? It's irrelevant.
I don't like
falafel.
Okay,
you don't like falafel. Let's say you don't like falafel. And I don't ask you.
Okay.
I don't check. I don't do anything. But I just come over and I throw a plate of falafel in front of you.
Wait a minute. I did not throw it at you. I placed it in front.
Actually, I placed
a plate of falafel. Like a stupid little servant.
After making it in the kitchen.
After making it, no,
again,
slaving it in the kitchen.
Exaggerating.
Wait, hold on. Exaggeration. What was the exaggeration?
Because it came in a styrofoam plate in a plastic bag.
I mean, he made the call.
He didn't make it.
Well, actually, I'm incorrect on that one.
He made the phone call in order to.
I made the tap.
He made the text.
He pushed a couple buttons on his phone.
But I mean, that
takes time. And someone brought it over.
That took time, right?
It took me like 2 minutes.
That's right.
So
I slaved. And then he walked up front and got it when they brought it.
Went into the kitchen.
And put it in a plate.
No, not just any plate. I asked permission to use Glenn Beck's plates.
The special ones that he used in there.
And his spoons and forks.
Those are the
nicer ones.
Like if you look at the bottom of the shelf.
For the
set. White one
is
for the
plates,
set ones.
Nice, pretty
ones.
Yeah. Oh, the set ones.
Yeah, not the chipped ones.
I'm walking like an idiot servant, serving you, Adam.
But that's what you guys do.
I mean, I completely get it. No, I completely get it.
That came out the wrong way.
I completely get it. You know what? You're right. That's what we do. So that's why I was embracing my culture, serving you guys.
Did you not like the plantains?
I'm not a fan of plantains.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I just want you to know. I mean, because.
But going back to my point, I mean, if I threw a plate of hummus or falafel in front of him and he didn't like it,
this is what I will do. I was like, "Hey,
thank
Cal,
you very much, sir.
Thank you for the falafel. I appreciate you sharing your culture with me.
I said thank you.
At this time, I would like not to have your falafel. I'm not a falafel eater.
Now, there'd probably be a hug in there, a hearty handshake.
Oh, there'll be a Muslim kiss.
That's right, right? Each cheek.
On each cheek.
The same thing.
Did I get a kiss from you?
No, because he's trying to
assimilate
your culture to show he appreciates it.
Well, I
get a thank you?
I mean, Cal, I got to side with him a little bit on this one because I thought it was horrible too, but I ate it, you know.
You know, I was nice.
You know what?
I said, you know, you heard it in my voice, the genuine surprise of, oh.
No, I heard the surprise.
This?
But here's the thing.
And I was like,
Adam,
is that dog
did not
food?
Eat the plantains.
I mean, no.
Right. But he ate some of the other stuff.
He ate the bite, the arroz con habichuela, every drop,
even though
it was really interesting.
Right? I mean,
You did. I give you that. You know, you literally swallowed my plantain.
Licking the plane.
You did.
The plate
you
and
did.
The whole thing. Is it was,
and it was a different plantain. It was a sweet plantain. And Rocky with an eye, she probably can testify to this. It's a weird taste.
Who's Rocky with an eye? One of the Twitter.
Puerto Rican. Yeah,
she's Puerto Rican. I didn't know she's Puerto Rican. I know she's on the Twitter with us.
She's on the Twitter.
I didn't know she's Puerto Rican. Does she know about the sweet
plantains? She knows about sweet plantains. Plátano.
Oh, okay.
I ate it, some of it.
Yeah, but the way, and there's a picture.
There was just a lack of appreciation. Even if you were going to eat it,
all right, can I be honest?
There was a lack of appreciation.
Can I be honest?
Yeah, I wish you would. That's what this is about. It's a safe
zone. It looked a little bit like dog food. I'm just being honest. We're sharing. And I was a little scared.
Wow.
I'd never seen anything like that on a plate.
But this is good. This is good. You're just getting it out there.
I just want to be honest. We're in a safe space.
Were you trying to insult him or his culture?
I think so.
No.
There was a little hesitation there.
No, there was no. I was just thinking.
There was some thinking.
I'm trying to just be honest.
But again,
I feel like... You're like a radical Puerto Rican.
No.
You're ISIS. ISIS is forcing their views on people, and if you don't agree with them, they kill
ISIS
you. So what's next? If I don't eat your food, should I fear for my life?
ISIS is the proper name. You'd have to come up with something else like Prices.
Prices? Like Puerto Rican ISIS. Puerto Rican state, something like that. I just feel
like you're tearing me apart.
Well, now he's gotten it out there, and he feels a little forced. Now, were you tearing him apart in his culture?
No, not intentionally.
Okay, very good.
I just didn't want dog food. I don't eat dog food.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, see, look at this. Don't everybody feels better now? He has more plantains this morning for you.
That's very nice. That's right. Right, exactly. Thank you.
Right.
I appreciate you.
Right. There it is.
But I would prefer not to have dog food in
there
the morning.
It is. Look at that. It's very nice. Very nice.
Okay.
Where's the hug?
Okay, hold on.
Right, I missed the line.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't give you your chance, Chris. Yeah. Yes.
Just a little chance. Okay, gotcha. Sounds like I'm picking, but it wasn't really dog food. It was plantains.
I know. He's just saying like that. That's his image.
Okay.
Okay. Right. You're good.
Right, now, I'm not literally.
You need a big hug.
Do we have to?
I don't think we need.
I'm assuming. I know you like him, Chris. I know that's often.
He's coming over. He's gonna touch me. Okay. Oh God, he's touching me.
You're giving him the full body hug, right?
Full body hug. We're actually sharing mics right now.
Okay, good.
I did brush my teeth this morning.
Good.
So that's
good.
Do I kiss?
Are you squeezing?
I feel much better.
Squeezing my arm.
Yeah, I think
a kiss.
I mean,
arm. Oh,
do I kiss?
He just kissed me.
Do I kiss again?
Oh,
this is good. This is really nice.
You got it. Okay, cool.
Okay, then we're gonna break in here, and then we can start the show officially next in the morning, Blaze.
Oh God, that hurt.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
I think maybe it's time for... people around here to be reducitarians.
Reducitarians.
It's kind of a new thing.
Vegetarian?
Oh, yeah, because it's got the Aryan thing. Yeah.
Well, I think it means Aryan. A white. That's bad.
A white reducer, a reducitarian.
A white reducer?
I'm kidding. It does sound like that with Aryan, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's instead of becoming a vegetarian or a vegan, Okay. You know, vegetarian is people who don't eat meat.
Right.
And then the vegan is people who don't eat anything meat or animal
face,
related.
Basically.
But it's anything meat related. And
or even products like they don't wear clothes that were.
But they also don't eat eggs or milk.
No, yeah.
Right.
No
dairy. So reducitarian is people who want to reduce the consumption of animals or animal products. Okay. So they just reduce it.
Isn't that so? They don't cut it out completely. They just reduce it.
Right. That's right.
So instead of having a whole piece of steak. I have half of a steak.
You have like half a piece, oh, okay. Or you skip steak this meal. You know, okay. You don't have milk today. So you just
you can have it tomorrow.
It right, exactly. Okay. Okay. So they had the first ever reducitarian summit. It took place in Manhattan last
summit?
Week. A summit on being reducitarians, which, you know, to me, it just sounds like they're bad vegetarians.
Yeah, this sounds
like I'm a vegetarian, but I'm going to have a burger today.
Optional vegetarians.
Right.
Depends on your mood.
Right. It sounds like me. It's like the, hey, I'm an alcoholic, but I drink now and then.
I'm not an alcoholic. I just drink now and then.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Speakers and visitors from around the world came and they spoke about the importance of reducing societal meat consumption and how they could implement effective strategies to make it happen. And there are four basic tenets of reducitarianism.
Okay. Four, okay.
Reducitarianism.
Let me write this down just in case I would like to.
Get your pen ready. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Because I could see you reducing.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean you could see him reducing?
I could see him, you know, taking up the...
Participating.
Right, participating.
Is that like a kind of a subtle
no.
thing to tell him to wow. stop?
I don't
think just so. Said, I
people
see you
are
reducing.
Paranoid if you hear that. So the first tenet of reducitarianism, it's all about nothing. I'm sorry, it's all or nothing. The average American eats 275 pounds of meat a year. I'm going to go ahead and tick those up a bit for me.
Yeah, double that for me.
And they say if people reduce their meat consumption by only 10%, it would reduce nearly 30 pounds annually. So, Chris, if you can knock off 10% of your meat eating.
Okay.
You know, you're going out on weekends.
I do eat a lot of meat.
Right. Just shave off 10% of that. Okay. And you'll cut out 30 pounds a year.
A year?
A year. Now imagine if everybody did that.
That's
how many
of,
cows we'd save.
Yeah.
How many pigs?
Yeah.
What right. if you don't care about saving cows?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
I personally, I mean, cows and pigs don't bother me if they're dead.
Oh, wow. That's,
I'm not like trying to save them.
Pretty hurtful. Do pretty I, hurtful.
Does that still, like, do I have to? Does are we? Can I just still eat meat?
Well, even if you don't care about the animals, don't you care about the planet?
Nah, looks like a third on my list.
Okay,
third
see.
Or fourth.
Well, at least it's on the list, right?
Somewhere on there.
So the second tenet of reducitarianism, they say incremental change is worthy. So you guys are sitting here probably thinking, wow, you're not doing a whole lot. You just cut it out, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
all
I am.
A,
yeah.
Right. They say, no. Every little bit helps. They say it takes time to transition, particularly when dietary habits have been deeply ingrained over decades. Mm-hmm. So you start a little bit, like 10%. Maybe down the road, you go full vegetarian and then vegan.
So, for example, if I want to start this adventure,
right.
Instead of eating my plantains, I mean, not my plantains, my bité, which is beef, I don't have it today, but I can have it tomorrow.
Right, you don't have the beety.
Yeah.
You don't have the beety, you have
no,
the
I
plantains.
Don't. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I can see that happening, yeah.
So, beety?
Yeah. Bité, but yeah.
Yeah, beety.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Third basic tenet of reducitarianism, all motivations matter. They say people are inspired to reduce their consumptions of animal products for many reasons, but it doesn't matter why, Cal, if it's the environment or because you love animals, as long as you do it, they should all be equally valid, validated, and celebrated.
No.
Okay. Fourth, we're all on the same team. As reducitarians, which... Chris obviously is going
yeah,
to be now.
I'm gonna, yeah.
We're all sharing an ultimate goal to end the animal agriculture industry as we know it.
But I
only
could
sometime though.
Have
yeah,
it
eventually, yeah.
Tomorrow.
For now, until you go
yeah.
full vegetarian.
And I know, yeah.
Yeah,
until,
yeah, yeah.
Until I make the full transition.
Right.
I could just
as long as you're cutting 10%
so today
off.
I could care, right. Ooh, I'm not gonna eat that chicken because I love that little chicken. You know, that
right.
chicken is good. But then
just,
tomorrow I'm like,
yeah, I'm
ooh, I really love
that chicken.
That chicken. Let me eat that chicken.
Eat that chicken,
okay.
right.
Okay.
And things that come out of his body.
Yes.
Right, exactly. Or her body.
Her body.
Something like that. They say we should refocus on our commonality and not let what some people call horizontal hostility prevent us from working together.
Horizontal hostility?
Horizontal hostility.
That's what I felt 2 days ago, but and I completely understand.
Oh, about Cal?
Yeah.
About the plantains? You felt a horizontal hostility?
Yes, and, okay, and gotcha. That's different than a vertical.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be horizontally hostile.
Yeah, thank you, and write that down. So, reducitarians. I mean, it's a pretty good move, right?
Sounds good.
Yeah, just sounds a little weak to
what
me.
Okay, so let's say I don't eat meat today.
Right.
And tomorrow I have double the amount of meat I would on a normal day.
It's okay, though.
Wouldn't that kind of negate the...
No.
You're kind of back to square one. But, right. But had you not reduced it, you would be eating more meat because of double the second day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, still, every little bit. See?
But if I double
up... It's a numbers
up,
game, Cal. It's all a numbers game.
No, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Wow, okay.
This whole thing just kind of sounds counterintuitive.
This is the reason why I appreciate the vegans and vegetarians.
You appreciate them?
Yeah.
Try being married to one, you won't appreciate them.
No, I appreciate your wife.
Why?
Because she's doing all this stuff and I can just eat free whatever the hell I want.
By the way, I think I caught my wife.
Did you bust her? What'd she have?
Well, she the other day... She brought home... I asked her. She's like, at the market, she's like, do you think... I was like, you know, I'm feeling some hot dogs. Can you bring some hot dogs home?
Uh-huh.
She brings hot dogs home. The pack had 7 hot dogs in it. Okay?
They don't, sir. They come in 8.
No, I counted. They were 7.
Oh,
I counted,
okay,
after the fact. And I thought that was odd, too.
Okay.
Because the package of the buns had 8. So I had 2 one night. Last night, I felt like them again. So I looked in, and there were 2 missing from the package. And I asked her, I was like, did you have hot dogs? And she's like, no. Our daughter Zaina. She's like, does Zaina want them? I'm like, that's funny because I've tried to give her hot dogs before and she doesn't like them. She's like, no, it was her. I'm like, you don't have to lie to me. I don't care if you eat hot dogs or not. I don't care if you break your vegetarian.
Wow.
I didn't do it. I'm not lying.
Blaze with Doc Thompson. The Blaze Radio Network.
All right, lots of good tweets with the hashtag what I learned today. HallieButt96.
Yeah.
HallieButt. Yeah, HallieButt96. Reducitarian sounds like a fancy name for a diet. Question, if you're on one, can you get a shot to get rid of it? I think you can.
To get rid of
your reducitarianism thing. Frank at PA tweeting, horizontal hostility. We're talking about Chris Cruz's love life again.
JR15 tweeted. Only
no, because there is no horizontal. Well, I guess there is a hostility. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
JR15 tweeted. Only one apology protocol follows horizontal hostility. Hashtag what I learned. Hashtag bow chicka bow bow.
You also have fake Glenn Beck tweeting. Hey now, I won't stand for bullying of any kind in my studios unless it's Jeffy.
We're allowed to bully Jeffy.
I think it's Drewcupine. Maybe they should just be called food wastetarians. Unappreciatarians. It's food. Eat the damn food. This is what's so funny about this stuff. It's really easy to be, you know, ideological and we're going to save the animals and all this stuff when you have plenty of options, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, it's easy. Well, it's like I saw, who's the nutcase that owns Facebook?
Zuckerberg.
Right? It's real easy for him this morning to stand up and talk all about global, it was a basic global wage where everybody at least makes a minimum wage, uh-huh, you know, and all this stuff. And I'm going, yeah, $50 billion. Tell you what, you give away all but $40,000 a year, a-hole, and then we'll talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, because he's not volunteering that stuff. That stuff pisses me off so much. When you give it away first, then we'll discuss it. Hell, you know what? Keep $100 million so you're still uber rich by every standard.
And then split everything else.
And split everything else. But he's not leading with that, is he? You lead by example. Otherwise, it's not real.
It's BS.
I like this one. Nacho Granny saying, no.
Nacho
Cal,
Granny.
No, Cal. No dessert for you until your dog food or plantains.
That's right. Until you finish your dog food,
yep,
and plant.
Finish all that stuff.
Either way you want to call it there.
I don't need dessert that bad.
Callie Wiggis and Liz Conley were on vacation. They took a trip to Puerto Nuevo, Mexico. Is that how you say?
Puerto Nuevo.
That's right where you're from, right? Right near there?
No, I'm Carolina, Puerto Rico.
They're both Puerto.
Close.
Okay. Yeah. So they're on this trip to Mexico, right? And hanging out. And they see that there's, in this community, a lot of local ladies who make tortillas.
That is real popular in the Hispanic community.
Tortillas? Making tortillas?
No, like old ladies.
Really? I thought that was Russian.
Old ladies making things on the side of the streets, right. And it's really interesting.
Well, and they explained this, and I can imagine it. I think I've seen different trips where they do this, but they say there's a bunch of ladies out there like this, and they have these little stands, and they take the dough to make the tortillas, and they said it's a lot like you see people making pizza or whatever, and they make them out there, and they said they were exceptional. They're like, no tortillas they've had.
Fresh tortillas.
Right, they're fresh, and their recipes are different, and then some of the different combinations of stuff they put in them, and they were just blown away. They're like, oh, this is so good.
That's awesome. That's good.
Yeah. And they said, we want to take some of this concept back to America. They're from Portland, Oregon, and they want to start making tortillas like this.
Entrepreneurial spirit.
Right. So they start talking to the ladies, and they're like, can you tell us how you make these? And the local ladies are like, sure. Come on, we'll teach you how to make them. So the little ladies there are teaching them how to make them. Awesome. Right? Yeah.
Because like probably an old recipe passed down right. generations.
Well, and like Chris Cruz, you're proud of your culture. Yeah. You want people to try. So the ladies help them. They tell them all about it. And then these two ladies, Callie and Liz, they go back to Portland and they open a burrito shop. And the burritos, zing, tremendous. Great.
They do well. They're doing great.
That's okay. People love them. Entrepreneurial spirit, we could have them on.
That's smart. You find something somewhere else that's not served where you are, and you start something new, build a business.
And we likely would have had them on Building America, except their store has closed.
What? I thought you just said they're doing well.
Their store has closed. And they have scrubbed all references of it from social media because they used to do well on the social media, but it is closed. It did well. They had a great concept. And
somebody died?
No, it closed because they gave an interview where they told the story that I just told you about them traveling to Puerto Nuevo, Mexico.
But that's a good story. It's being inspired, like uplifting.
Bringing it back.
Yeah.
Cultural appropriation.
Oh, you shut up.
You gotta be kidding me.
Nope. Cultural appropriation. People went off on them online, went ballistic. Not only they're culturally appropriating.
Because they're white, they're not allowed to make tortillas.
Right.
And Mexican food.
And they stole the recipes from the women in Mexico, they said.
They stole it?
How did they steal it?
Oh, yeah, obviously they went and got gunpoint, forced the woman to give her the recipe, then stole it, making money off of it.
They talked to the little old ladies.
The lady gave up her, she didn't mind, she wanted to spread the culture.
Right. So they here's the interview they get. They said, we picked the brains of the tortilla ladies there in our worst broken Spanish ever, and they showed us how a little of what they did. They told us the basic ingredients, and we saw them moving and stretching the dough. They went on to explain it. Was fascinated by how they did it. We learned quickly it isn't as easy as it looks, and they talked well about the business. They were impressed by it. Well, after they gave the interview, and it's Cook's Burrito, K, it's like Cook's but with a K, K-O-O-K-S, Burrito. The internet went bonkers. One person wrote, now that you all boldly and pretty effingly unapologetically stole the basis of these women's livelihoods, you can make their exact same product so other white people don't have to be inconvenienced dealing with the pesky brown middlewoman getting in their way.
Unbelievable. So what, from Portland, Oregon,
yes,
they're going to travel down to Mexico.
To get that burrito for lunch.
To get that burrito for lunch.
Tell you what, boss, I'm going to be a little late coming back, right, for lunch today.
Unbelievable.
If they said, we stole their recipes and opened a shop right next to them in Puerto Nuevo, it's still not theft.
Yes. No.
That's called competition.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Now, if they tricked the old ladies and said, give us your recipes, and then stuck it to them,
and then put them out of business.
Well, that's not nice, but the little ladies didn't have to give it up to them, right?
Yeah.
So that's competition. But this is in Portland. You're not stealing their livelihoods. This is not going to cut into their business at all. In fact, it actually promotes their business because it promotes their cuisine. And it makes me say, hey, if I'm ever in Puerto Nuevo, Mexico has just become on my list again. I don't know if anybody knows this, but I like food.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Right. It gets worse than that. Mike.com, which is an uber progressive website. These guys are asses. Mm-hmm. has an article that says these white cooks bragged about their stealing recipes from Mexico to start a Portland business. Where did these little old ladies get the recipes? And where did those people get it from? And where did they get it from? Yeah. Sometimes it's handed down from
generation to generation. Yeah.
We steal ideas and concepts. It's not appropriation. It's not theft. We see things we like. You're not stealing stuff you don't like or you think is a failure. You're not going to do stuff that you think is bad. You're going to do stuff that you think has an advantage, something that has a positive aspect to it. Something that you either appreciate yourself or appreciate because you can steal the idea because you think it's a solid idea.
Every great idea was something someone else did that someone took a piece and added to it.
On their Yelp review, people put things like white mediocrity.
Oh my God.
Wow. They called it colonialism. And after that, the women were so ostracized, they shut it down. They scrubbed it from the social media, took it from the internet as best they could. And then some of these same people that gave them the business started circulating a list of white-owned appropriative businesses, ones that appropriated stuff.
Unbelievable.
And look at this. Here's the list. And it's not just a list. It's an
Excel proxy. It's an Excel sheet, so you can add more as you find them.
Right. You can add to them, and it shows different things around the area that they say have been appropriated from other cultures.
So basically,
these are some of Portland's top restaurants.
So basically, you're saying that white people can no longer own a food business.
Right. Unless you're selling, like, mayonnaise sandwiches.
So, you right. Ooh. Yeah, well, just something that white people eat. What do white people eat?
What's white food? Right. That's what I mean. There is no white food.
Sandwiches.
Right. So these same people who circulated this list and are pissed off, do they ever eat, or do any of the non-Mexican people or non-Latino people ever eat Latino or Mexican food?
So I can only eat my racist food?
Yeah, you can only eat
falafel.
Your family's history is from Egypt, so you can only eat Egyptian food.
That's ridiculous. So if I eat another type of food, I'm culturally appropriating.
So I can't eat Italian food. I'm not Italian. No. I can't open an Italian restaurant.
No, you can't. Definitely not.
No.
I mean, is it like Diana Ross? Can I not even look at the Italian restaurant? No. Avert your eyes as you walk by the Olive Garden.
You can't even look at the Italian people.
Right.
Because you might get the idea from them.
Keep in mind, these are the same people that keep telling me that we should not have a wall, that we should, right? Why? Because we want, what's the word?
Diversity.
And inclusion.
Except if you're going to make money off of it.
Right. My eating your food and going to these other places, going to the little Koreatown next door or whatever, that, you know what that is? That's inclusion. That's diversity. That's teaching people to get along. Again, the progressive ideas, you lay them next to each other, they do not run parallel, they will intersect because they're so crazy.
Unbelievable.
And one of the things is, I think the biggest issue here is that the people are white. I think that is the biggest issue.
Yeah, they're white and they took it from brown.
White-owned
brown
businesses hamper the ability for people of color to run successful businesses of their own. That's what this Google Doc that's online says.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
It's
And now keep in mind, they also, these progressives, you're not white?
No.
Oh, okay. These progressives also just hurt these people.
Yes.
You're supposed to try to help people. These people have a business. They got the idea. They opened it. It was successful. And I'd be willing to bet that these people are probably progressive. I mean, there's more progressives in Portland than not.
Yeah.
Right?
I think there's only one conservative. I think that's Vega.
Vega, that's her. Yeah, that's the one. So, wow. You guys seem a little hypocritical there.
This is ridiculous. Could you imagine, like, you had a dream and you opened up a place and it's doing well and, you know, you're so,
right.
And they just put you out of business.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Again, promoting different cultures. So,
am I supposed to, like, let's say I want to do this. Do I have to bring the little Mexican lady back with me?
Do it at all.
If she makes it? She's brown, she's Mexican.
You're oppressing her. Why doesn't she own the business? How come you own the business?
Yeah.
So I can't hire her and pay her a good wage to work.
No. You can't do anything. I don't think you can work for them. I mean, it just becomes more and more extreme with these people.
Unbelievable.
All right, let me get a break. Back with more on this, The Morning Blaze.
The next generation of talk radio.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. on the Blaze Radio Network.
Okay, got to tell you about Relief Factor. Relief Factor is an all-natural anti-inflammatory that has been helping all kinds of people here at the Blaze and people around the globe deal with their chronic pain and their less than chronic pain, maybe even some lesser pains. That's primarily what I've had, although Cal's is more chronic with his back pain.
I've had this problem since high school. I played high school football, and I screwed up my back a little bit back then, and it kind of just traveled with me over the years, and it's always try to just take something to like numb it, and it never works, but once I got that Relief Factor, no more numbing. That stuff is just legitimately the real deal.
And that's because it doesn't mask the pain. No. It actually takes care of the pain. It gets the inflammation mm-hmm. that causes the pain. And Nicole also has been... Oh, we don't have Nicole? All right. Lots of people have. We think we told you about Nicole in the past. Try Relief Factor today. The number is 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. And you get a 3-week quick start pack for only $19.95. Just $19.95 will give you that 3-week pack, which should be plenty to see that relief that you've been looking for. Results for most people between 7 and 10 days. 800-500-8384. Or go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com.
I got to thank you for that, Mr. Staggs.
You're very welcome.
I don't think...
I enjoy turning people on to Relief Factor. The first one's...
The funny thing is, before Relief Factor was a sponsor and talk about it, when I first got here to Texas, the first thing Brad gives me, he's like, here, have some of this. He gives me like a bag of Relief Factor.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is this? He's like, trust me, you'll thank me later.
Oh, yeah.
He knows the pains that are associated with working with this company. It's chronic. Yep.
Or just working with Doc Thompson. So
exactly. Yes, thank
you
for that.
That's what I meant by this company. I appreciate that.
He did the same thing to me. I'm like, the sciatic. He goes, here you go.
Yep.
Right. And I was like, okay, great. Thanks, Brad. Let me see. And I was like, all right, I'll humor Brad. Oh, it actually works. And then like a couple months later, they're like, hey, we think we're going to spots of the show there.
You got any more Relief Factor,
Brad? Yeah, it's relieffactor.com. Now, you've been looking up the cultural appropriation and of the food. He found some websites. At the Blaze Brad for Brad Staggs, if you want to join him on the Twitter.
Yeah, this is a website called Literally Darling. Cultural appropriation can exist on your dinner plate. The author says, the other day I noticed my local meat market, which is owned and mostly patronized by suburban white people, had started selling oxtails.
Okay, oxtail is cultural?
Well, oxtail is thought to be one of the cheapest parts of the animal, typically bought by black families who couldn't afford more expensive cuts of meat. Now, oxtails have become trendy and are therefore sold at a premium, which is why is that such a bad thing? Because when a food becomes trendy, the price goes up, and this ultimately puts a bigger strain on food insecure communities.
Okay, which we've proven that that's bogus at this point.
Food insecure. Well, they link to a 4-year-old article, so it's got to be true.
Unbelievable. So, yeah. Oxtail insecure. Is only allowed, so only black, is that what I say, black people?
Yeah.
Only black people have to eat that.
Yes, exactly.
No, poor white people did in America. They would eat all
the are you sure?
Parts. Absolutely.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, here's the rule then. And Chris, we got to get somebody on.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to be a juror. I'll challenge him because I want to know. I need to know the rules of cultural appropriation because it seems pretty sketchy. But I think this should be the rule that goes with it. If you are going to push the concept of cultural appropriation, where I, Doc Thompson, am not allowed to take part in barbecue because that was poor black folk in America food, or falafel, or plantains, or whatever it is. If I can't take part, then you, as part of that culture, can only eat that cultural food.
Yeah,
you can't nothing else.
Don't ever serve it to
you
white people.
You can't go with any other
nationality,
smaller
any cuisine.
Oppressed group, whatever. Chris, you can only have plantains and such from now on if you believe in that.
I'll be happy.
I don't think you would.
Think
trust
you
me,
will.
Cal's giving that, or Chris giving that up. Right away. Now, I get the tweets in with the hashtag What I Learned Today. You got your Friday leftovers on the way. But before that, your headlines with Brad next.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.
Of common sense and comedy.
This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Oh, imagine that. Some people want to comment on cultural appropriation.
No.
So silly. I really want to talk to one of these people so I can ask him questions because I got to know the rules. It seems like a fail, but I'm willing to hear him out. 888-900-3393, line 22, Frank in Pennsylvania. Welcome to the program. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Doc. Hey, what do you want to bet that internet campaign was waged from a Starbucks where they were drinking Arab coffee?
So that's right. Coffee comes from Arabia, right?
Yeah. Cal is the only person in your studio that could drink
it. Yeah, I'm going to need that cup of coffee. You're not allowed to drink that.
I don't think that Starbucks would stay in business if it was only selling to them. So.
No, I don't think so either. And Cal, do you even drink coffee?
I hate coffee. Okay. I really do.
So we can have that one.
I don't like it at all. No, you can't. Just for the point.
Now, if you're willing to give me a pass on drinking coffee, I'll give you a pass on kimchi.
I don't like kimchi either.
You're not even Korean.
That's right.
I have a Korean son.
That doesn't matter.
I get a pass.
No, you don't. Not according to the cultural appropriation
Frank, thanks,
people.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Oh, that's sub-rule three.
You had hot dogs. You just mentioned hot dogs a little while ago.
What? I'm three-quarters German.
I don't think so. I am a little bit German. I can have like a tenth of a hot dog.
You're not the only German one in you?
A little bit, not so much this morning,
right?
But I have in the past,
right?
I'm about to like a tenth or a fifth, but you can't have any, and I'm willing to give you the hot dog pass.
I'll trade you coffee for hot dogs and hamburgers.
Let's go to line 87 now. Vika, welcome to the Morning Blaze. How are you? Now you're in the Portland area, right?
Yes, I am.
This stuff's got to drive you up the wall.
Yeah, among other things.
Are you desensitized to it? Is that what it is?
Yes and no. I mean, two things. One, I am the epitome of a cultural appropriation because I'm an anthropologist.
Oh.
So I've been told from day one I can't really be an anthropologist because I'm going to always see things through a frame of being a white woman. But, okay.
So that was
the whole point. I wanted to study about other things, but the action of studying about other things is actually the action of appropriation.
So your point, that's a really good point, that they're arguing that you cannot fully understand other cultures or other people because you're a white woman. So your view is going to be skewed, right?
More than that, not only is my views going to be skewed, I can't possibly take my findings and express them in a reasonable manner, or layman's terms even, to other people because I'm white. You know, only black people can talk about black people. Only Koreans can study Koreans. It's the rules of cultural appropriation are the following. Don't. Don't think.
And rule number two, rule number one.
Yeah, because rule number one is don't.
But this has got to drive you up the wall because of that, though, especially because of what you do. If you became an anthropologist because you want to study people, I'm guessing that's not because you're like, I want to study so I can mock them and tell people what morons they are. I'm guessing it's probably not that.
No, I mean, I'm a Navy brat. But my whole thing about becoming an anthropologist was I grew up in Italy and in different parts of Europe. I had that experience as a kid. I was fascinated by what my classmates who'd just been transferred from Japan and, you know, name the military base. I was fascinated by that. I found the history and the culture and everything exciting, and I wanted to learn more and be able to share it with people who didn't have that opportunity because I know that my experience is pretty darn unique. I mean, yes, until I was about 14, I thought everybody grew up with Roman ruins in their backyard. But then I realized that wasn't the norm. That was actually pretty unusual. And I just thought that was something cool to share.
So you're saying you want to oppress people. I got you. Got you, Vika. Got you. That's what I heard anyways.
I want to oppress.
Thanks, Vika. I appreciate it. That was really nice. But you know those people just
we've scoured noses.
Oppress,
he's
oppress,
from
oppress,
the
oppress.
To find the most it was really nice. Headlines.
Breaking news this morning out of Egypt: at least 35 dead in a terrorist attack there. 35 Coptic Christians have been killed in a terrorist attack in Egypt. The BBC, multiple outlets are reporting. Another 25 at least are reported injured.
This was a bombing.
No, they opened fire. Gunmen opened fire on a bus.
So the people are on the bus. Right. They get up there and and they shoot in it. You know, we have gone pretty deep on what happened in Manchester, but Cal and I have talked about this before, too, that just about every week, somewhere in the world, a lot of times in the Middle East, people are killed. Mm-hmm. Sometimes many, many more. Sometimes dozens and dozens, hundreds are killed. And although we don't identify as closely with some of these people attacked in the Middle East, just because, you know, we don't know as much about them and we more identify with Americans and then the West, when you see these things, it should be just as impactful. Those people, well, those happen to be Coptic Christians at this point, but a lot of times they're Muslims who are doing, you know, their own thing. They don't want to be oppressed by these a-holes.
Right.
This comes down to dictators in the Middle East.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And although the emphasis on that. Those people being oppressed are not terrorists. And a lot of times, like Cal and I've said, they have poor economies and poor education. But they are people. They are human beings who simply want pretty much the same things we want. You want to go through your life, raise your children.
Yeah.
That's it. So
And the Coptic Christians have been, the past few years have been a huge target.
I think Mercury One's still doing a lot with the Coptic Christians. If you want to help out this morning, mercuryone.org.
Mm-hmm. So tired of this, man.
Yeah.
So tired of this.
Moving on to news around the country here. Montana has a new representative on Capitol Hill, and you better not piss him off. Greg Gianforte was charged with misdemeanor assault after he put the smackdown on Ben Jacobs of The Guardian, a UK news outlet. Gianforte easily won over the Democrat. Oh, what's his name? You know, the guy who couldn't punch his way out of a paper sack. That's sissy.
So the guy won. The guy who...
He apologized.
Yes.
He did a nice apology. I'll take his apology.
Okay. It was the guy from the UK. That doesn't really count.
No.
What, from the Daily Mail?
He pushed me down and broke my glasses.
Doesn't really count.
No, it doesn't.
There's a guy from Daily Mail.
Gianforte will now advance to the D.C. circuit. He's going to be taking on Vladimir Putin for the world championship.
Well, we do have President Trump. He is a wrestler.
Yeah.
So
true. It could happen.
Wow, that is good.
Anything could happen.
That should be a part of every election from now on.
Yeah.
Like at least a 3-round wrestling match. Uh-huh. Along with campaigning, along with all everything else.
Defeats of strength.
Yeah.
You won the popular vote, but let's see how you do in the feats of strength round.
Exactly.
Oh, and then the lightning round.
And it's National Heat Awareness Day.
Wait a minute.
I feel.
Okay, I'm aware of that.
AKA summer.
I was just being so close to you, Cal. Yeah, so you can use the hashtag Heat Awareness Day to share your heat awareness things. I don't know
By
why.
The way, I'm aware of heat. I'm aware of it, guys, just so you know.
Right. By the way, when it gets cold, you won't be aware of heat anymore.
That's right.
In national news, in Atlanta, Confederate flags are gone, and the Civil War Museum will now close. They've requested the flags be removed.
The local community, or was this the mayor or the town
Henry
council?
County commissioner requested they take the flags out of the museum so that they wouldn't offend anyone.
Out of the museum. Wait, so we're not talking about flying the flag outside, which would still be appropriate for a museum.
Right.
Okay, I don't agree with removing the statues and the flags and all of that stuff that they've been crazy doing recently. Mm. But, okay, so is this commissioner also going to the Smithsonian and saying, get rid of anything World War II related that's not American?
I would be thinking way outside of his comfort zone.
You see what I'm saying? We put stuff, people have stuff, I think Glenn has some, is it a Nazi uniform?
Oh, he has all sorts of Nazi artifacts.
Wow, that sounded really bad. It sounds like he has it in his closet.
But if you can't get rid of that.
In his defense, he only wears uniform on Nazi Fridays.
Exactly.
It's not Nazi Friday yet.
Crap, I got to go change.
That's right.
The thing is that you get rid of all of these artifacts, you're doomed to repeat the mistakes of the past.
Exactly. If those who forget history are doomed to repeat them. By whitewashing history with this stuff, you're supposed to remember the atrocities. Now, I will give them a little bit of understanding, although I don't agree, with the statues. So you put up heroes of the South who may have been responsible for some bad things.
Mm-hmm.
Should we be celebrating them so if somebody comes to town and goes, oh, who was that guy? Oh, he's a bad guy. I can understand, but it's not that simple because the Civil War, although they try to tell you that, was not simply about slavery.
Oh, yeah,
it was also about states' rights and secession. Mm-hmm. So, plus, if
when you see those things, you remember, oh, we did horrible things that we don't want to repeat, you know?
Did I ever tell you about in Richmond, Virginia, which was the capital of the South, and I worked there, and I love Richmond. They have a thing called Monument Avenue. And down the middle, so it's a divided road. It's a very busy, you know, road. But it has statues of a lot of Confederate heroes. And they're all facing the north, right? Staving it off. Oh, but then they started adding some other people that were from Richmond that were, you know, noteworthy characters like Arthur Ashe, the tennis player or whatever. Right. So they put up a statue of him. And the person who designed it has him with a tennis racket and some children around him because he taught children.
I remember about this.
But it looks like he's beating the children with the racket. And I'm like, seriously, you didn't get that?
No good deed goes unpunished.
Mm-hmm.
Goat yoga, though, has people flocking to New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. We've got to be doing some yoga with the goat out back.
Now, is this
goat yoga?
Yoga for the goats, or am I doing something similar to a goat or something with a goat?
You're doing something with a goat.
Where's Zach Cochran? Where's he at? Where is he?
He's done unspeakable things with goats.
You know what
I'm
talking about,
that's what he said,
You know what I'm talking about.
They say it brings a lighter joyful energy to the class.
A what?
A lighter and more joyful energy to the class.
And just to clarify, yes, I know what you're talking about, Chris, because I remember Thad Cochran. I don't remember being with goats, so just to clarify.
Are you sure? Because
yes,
you look like you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. Wow. By the way, goat yoga?
Mm.
That's Saturday night for Chris.
Right. Wait. And only
Sunday
Chris.
Night because I'm recuperating from
Friday night.
Right. Gotcha. Hey, the Alamo has made it to the list for the worst tourist trap in Texas.
By the way, where are you heading this weekend?
I'm going to the Alamo.
Not kidding, Brad.
Nope.
Yesterday, Brad's like, hey, we're going to San Antonio for the weekend. We're probably going to check out that Alamo. And then this morning?
Yep. It's the worst tourist trap. According to Business Insider, they picked one for each state, like Graceland in Tennessee, Waikiki Beach in Hawaii.
Do you have the whole list?
I like Graceland.
I don't have the whole list.
I've been to the Graceland.
Graceland is really cool.
It's cool, yeah.
Elvis, and it's tacky. Didn't even name Graceland. It was named by the doctor who owned the house before.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's a very cool
story.
Tourist trap. I mean, it is a tourist trap, but it's for people who love Elvis.
And when you guys go this weekend, I want you to go to the basement and look for, you know, what they have on display in the basement of the Alamo.
Oh, is there a Confederate flag?
No.
Pee Wee Herman's bike.
Pee Wee Herman's bicycle.
At the Alamo?
It's in the basement of the Alamo.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it's there.
He doesn't remember the movie.
Did you see the movie? Pee Wee's Big Adventure?
Yeah, but I don't remember it.
The whole adventure is he's looking for his bicycle.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And the fortune teller goes, it's in, she's making it up, the Alamo.
Oh, that's right.
And then she goes, it's in the basement. And there's no basement of the Alamo. So he gets there and he goes, where's the basement?
There is
sorry,
no basement
sir.
In
all
the Alamo.
Questions must be at the wait till the end.
Tell them Large Marge sent you.
Large Marge sent
I would have been looking for the basement at the Alamo.
All right, one more. Wrap us up. Takes out a good note for the leftovers.
Let's see here.
It's Friday.
Okay,
so
this is not going to be good. I can tell
long weekend. It's Friday.
Oregon man has been accused of throwing bodily fluids on women at grocery stores. No word on whether it's gender fluid.
It's Friday.
So he just goes around and throws them.
Yeah, apparently several Portland area grocery stores... no word on whether this is cultural appropriation or not.
I don't know.
But, there's one woman.
Does he procure the fluids prior to arriving at the...
No word on whether he procures them prior to or while he is the grocery store.
So he identifies as a monkey.
Sort of.
There it is. Yeah. This is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
All right, so during the commercial break, Brad Stagg shared with us another little piece of the headline, his final headline.
There's a second piece of that story.
Right, that apparently one of the victims, minding her own business.
What was the headline again?
The headline is that a man is accused of throwing bodily fluids on women at grocery stores in Portland.
Yeah, and apparently one of the women that were in the store that got...
the woman who reported this... to the police, she told She told the news station this was the second time this has happened to her at the same store.
You're doing it wrong. No.
Okay.
You're doing it wrong.
Again?
Not from the same guy, right?
Yeah, I believe it could have been the same guy.
Oh my God.
Okay, yeah. Now, here's... If it's the same guy...
He's following her.
I mean, this is a memorable event. This is not going to be like, oh, you're that guy a couple months ago.
You're that guy that did, oh, not again.
Right, right. I mean, you're going to be... In fact, I think you'd be kind of shell-shocked. You'd be like, that looks like the... Okay, it's not him. No, it looks like...
Right.
Right, okay. So if it's the same guy...
Right.
Little shame on you. If it's not the same guy, what are you attracting? What are you wearing? The guy's like, I just have to throw something on her.
She said the first time it happened to her was in November or December when she was walking in an aisle and felt something hit her back. So he was behind her the first time.
Okay.
So she didn't get a good look at him. The second time she's in the parking garage when she saw a white car parked close to her. So apparently he's like doing these sneak attacks.
It's probably the same guy. And by the way, this is not uncommon either. I've seen stories like this many times where people are throwing bodily fluids, a lot of times that, on eggnog? People, on women. Yes, eggnog, where you're just walking in and you're just like, boop, there you go.
What the hell is wrong with that?
I have a question. Are they bringing it in some sort of like receptacle and throwing that?
That's or is most it, of it. That's why I asked it. Didn't I ask this question?
Yes. You didn't ask that question.
Is it procuring it beforehand?
Yes, I guess you'd have to see, was it when you felt it hit your back, was it warm or cold?
Well, right. So, is it one of those, how, this is premeditated. You're like.
This is a slippery slope is what this is.
Right. So this guy's at home and he's going, I need a delivery method that will allow me quickly and effectively to throw this fluid. Mm-hmm. So is he testing things? Has he got one of those like chef's bottles? No, the little chef's bottles.
Oh,
the drizzle that you put stuff on like salad and stuff or then decorations
the ketchup,
on cake.
Yeah. Well, like you see, man, what we here have is a puzzle. Chris.
I got you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
So
I'll think of another one in probably 10 minutes. So.
I would imagine as you're trying to find the delivery method and you're going through all these products at home, there's got to be some failures in that, right? I mean, things that didn't work.
Yeah.
So is that friendly fire? Is that what that is?
He's filling in the cake. To make a design.
And he's like, I bet you this would work great.
Let me get that bag in there. Yep. All right,
and you're
here we
go. Oh, sorry, the pastry tube didn't work. Right? The pastry glove didn't
work. Coffee mug.
I also get, like, we talk about some people that have weird fetishes or whatever, and although I don't, it's me.
You could put it out there.
Right, Chris will tell us about some of his weird fetishes, and I'll say, you know what? That's kind of weird. I don't get it, but I see why it's sexual, at least. It has to do with the same type of things or whatever. And there's some that are... I don't understand this at all. I don't get what kind of... I don't think this is even sexual. I think this is like a weird...
Of course it is. What are you talking about?
No, this is a weird power dominance.
This is sexual. This is
sexual thing here.
But you know why I think it's sexual?
Isn't sex dominance anyway?
Afraid to ask. But
because monkeys do it.
That's more dominance than sexual, though.
It's sexual. Monkeys do it.
It's kind of... It also has something to do with like a marking your territory type thing.
Yes, but that's more
dominance. That's my girl. Don't touch it.
Right, exactly.
It's dominance.
I'm going to come back for her later.
Yeah.
It's like when you put your finger in the pizza.
Right.
That's mine right here. Mine here.
Oh, is that how you do? I just lick it.
That I do that sometimes, too. You're not supposed to tell Cal that, though.
Oh.
All right.
Working with six-year-olds.
The Steve 42 # cultural appropriation fails. Ketchup on sushi.
Who puts ketchup on sushi?
That's why it's a cultural appropriation fail.
Oh, okay. Now I get it.
Germans.
That's right. All right, let's see what else we got here. It's # what I learned today. Spying Duck, the best part of Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And then he linked to the YouTube, which I'm clicking on. Up when he's deep in the heart of Texas.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Good deal. All right, quick break. Then we're going to come back with the Friday Leftovers on this, The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Doc Thompson presents the Friday Leftovers. Mmm.
These are the great stories we didn't get to earlier in the week, so we will get to them now. 25-year-old homeless man, Desi Johnston, recently moved back to Gainesville, Florida. He was living in California. He moved back and set up a tent without permission on a property near County Road 346. On Sunday morning, Johnston went to a nearby home with a lawnmower and offered to cut their grass. So, I mean, you know.
Trying to do his part.
Nice. Right. Set up a tent, yeah. Get my life back together, make some money. A woman who was visiting said, he went to the home, home right, and said, yeah. Hey, I want to cut your grass. And a woman who was visiting the people at that home said, hey, where'd you get that lawnmower?
Looks familiar.
And he said, I used a screwdriver to break a lock off a shed nearby. And she said, yeah, that shed. That was my shed.
My lawnmower.
He was arrested for burglary and larceny. Chris, you were looking pretty shocked at that when I said
that. No, I thought he was going to get run over by the lawnmower, I thought that's where the story was going. Mm. But I like that better ending.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You thought someone got run over and he was like,
wow,
that seems really inappropriate to have that.
Yeah.
He didn't steal it from Cal.
No.
Cal doesn't even have one.
I returned that lawnmower, by the way.
I know.
Pro criminal tip number 1512, your lawn mowing business should avoid the home of persons you stole the lawnmower from.
So go next.
Right.
Like next.
Don't steal it from your next door neighbor, basically.
That's a different pro tip.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not sure it's a pro tip.
That's not a pro tip?
If you can get away with it, you can.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you go to the next neighborhood.
A local real estate agent called Monroe County Sheriff's Office and reported someone was staying at the home, at a home on Big Pine Key without the owner's permission. Big Pine Key, that would be in the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Chris's homeland.
I always cross my fingers that it's not my family member like last time.
Deputy Dick Wang.
That never gets old.
Deputy Dick Wang looked in the window and saw of the home where somebody was occupying. Yes. So let me go back.
Go back.
Quick,
please,
Deputy
go
Dick. Back. Come help. Come.
A real estate agent calls and says, hey, someone's staying in this home without the owner's permission. And Deputy Dick Wang shows up and looks in the window. He peeks in the window.
You need to get Wang on the case.
He looked in the window and he saw a 36-year-old Felicia Mamay Farrington, naked. So Deputy Dick Wang looks in the window, sees the naked woman. He knocked on the door, and she answered the door.
Hello.
Still naked.
Oh.
She then refused to get dressed. When he said, hey, maybe you get dressed, I'm along here. She refused to, and then fought with Wang.
Naked still?
Yes.
Okay.
As he tried to take her into custody. The struggle continued until other deputies arrived.
To break up the Wang
fight. Felicia fight.
Right.
She was charged with trespassing, battering a law enforcement officer, and resisting arrest.
What do you want to bet that you didn't want to see her naked?
I would be willing to bet that he didn't. Mm-hmm. But there is a possibility that this is just the story he told.
Right.
No. When I got here, she was already naked. Was on, and that's naked. The reason.
Yeah. She was already naked when I got there.
I've got
sure she was Deputy Wang.
No,
sure she
Your
was.
Honor, I swear.
Listen, Dick,
I've got a very sad story, and I hope you guys will treat this with the
we always do
with the respect it deserves.
We always do.
Just treat it the right way.
We always do.
39-year-old Jose Cacon is accused. Jose Cacon.
Okay.
That's probably not
it. It's cultural appropriation. Yes. Right there. I'm not allowed to say that.
Why are you gonna Don't make it sound white.
Okay, listen, this is a serious story. It's very
sad. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Yeah. Just treat this sad story with the appropriate amount of reverence. 39-year-old Jose whatever is accused of shooting and killing Alfonso Rodriguez.
Okay, that's really sad. Horrible.
Yeah,
that's
really sad.
Poor Alfonso.
That's a crime.
They are both seasonal roofing workers who travel around the country together. They live in the same house. Mm. The man who's accused of shooting the other man, Jose, allegedly pointed a .38 at two people and pulled the trigger several times, but it didn't fire. And that's when Rodriguez was allegedly armed with a knife and joked, hey, your gun didn't go off. And that's when Jose allegedly pointed the gun at him and Rodriguez says, Go ahead, shoot me.
It doesn't
Your
work.
Your gun does not work.
Yeah.
Well, how did that end?
The gun worked. The gun worked. He was, of course, it did go off, and now Jose is facing a first-degree murder charge. So,
at least he didn't like do the Looney Tunes and look into the barrel and test it.
Let me look in here and see. I think you're right.
If he had just stuck his finger in there, though, it would have just, you know, the barrel would have exploded.
Right.
And it would have backfired.
And no damage to his finger.
Right.
So Jose was mad that the guy laughed that his gun didn't go off.
Yes.
And then the guy who laughed at it said, go ahead, shoot me. Your gun doesn't work.
And he's holding in a knife.
Right. And then he was shot.
Darwin is smiling.
Cops in Akron, Ohio say the woman robbed a video store. The woman that robbed a video store has been identified.
Wait a minute. There's a video store? Still open
That's
in Akron,
That's the first
Ohio.
Interesting part.
Robbed a video store of what?
Yeah.
There's no money in it.
Of videos.
Right.
Possibly money.
Uh-huh. Back to the future.
By the way, this is a current story. This is not a story from 1982. So she robbed the video store. They have identified her. The employees say she put a note on the counter demanding money. And then put her hand inside her sweatshirt as if she had a weapon. And they gave her some cash, and she fled. Now, you might be asking, how in the heck were they able to identify this woman?
She stole a VCR from down the street.
No. Just before she handed them the robbery note, she gave them her phone number so they could look up her account.
Oh, you got
you know.
Well.
Everyone knows you can't do business at a store until you first prove you're a member, a customer. Right.
Can you read that line about the money again?
Yeah.
She fled after they gave her some cash.
Yeah, all $3. Some,
exactly. Yeah. Some cash.
Yeah, net booty haul, $4. Yeah.
Hi, I'd like to steal a video, please. Can you look up my account?
Right, that's what you have to do. They won't do business with you that way. By the way, I still think I owe him money from video.
Blockbuster. Hollywood video.
You didn't rewind. There's a fee.
Oh, yeah.
Be kind and rewind.
Just the little rewind devices?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they part of the box.
A Colombian woman swallowed $7,000 in a desperate attempt to hide cash during a fight with her husband.
Wait.
Paper or silver?
Paper, okay. $7,000.
Are we talking ones, fifties?
They were hundreds.
Hundreds.
But still, that's 700 of them.
That's 700 bills. Wow. She swallowed
all
of
them? Did she roll them?
The 30-year-old woman.
70.
Sorry, 70, yeah.
Yeah, 70, that's right, 70.
Hey, you got change for a 20?
There you go. Yeah, thanks, sorry. Sorry. 70 of them.
Yeah.
She swallowed rolls of the $100 bills. This according to surgeons.
Whoa.
Who had to remove the bills surgically from her body.
Oh. I bet you that money went to the surgery now.
They were able to extract 57 of them.
Oh, where are the other ones?
Oh, they said that they were lost in her colon. And, you know, she was processing.
We don't know. We couldn't get the rest, man. Sorry.
Chris Cruz, let's say you were a doctor,
yes.
A surgeon, and you were removing $100 bills from a woman.
Yes.
And there was 70 of them in there. How many would you be able to remove?
Two.
Two, yeah, that's right. Sorry, the rest are lost.
Sorry, chicken colon. And by the way, go to that shopping center and then just throw the poop at me.
That's right.
Just throw it at me. Yeah. That's the poop I want on my face.
They were able
Hold
to
on, isolate that audio.
That was weird.
That was weird. They were able to surgically extract 57 of them from her stomach and intestines. She said that she saved up the money for a holiday with her husband after having sold several electrical household items. They got in a fight. She was worried he would take the money, so she only had one course of action remaining.
It makes sense, don't hide it.
Here's an idea. Maybe you hide them in a closet.
That's what I'm saying. You don't hide it,
in
the
shoe. Put them in some shoes.
Yeah, under the table.
How about the refrigerator?
Under the mattress.
Oh,
under the
mattress. Yeah, I mean, I could think of a lot of places that you could hide money before you
I know what to do.
That's right. I'm going to
Yeah, it makes me want to gag thinking about it.
Yeah. I mean, it is made of, cotton? So it's not...
There's linen in there.
And cocaine.
Mm. That's
There's
true.
Cocaine traces in money.
She rolled it up?
Yeah, rolled them in.
Yeah, it's like,
rolls of bills.
Like when you do
you do those drug deals.
She was trying to save the money,
right.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So
sure.
Did she think it would pass? It's paper money. If it's silver, that may pass, may not.
I would think it would dissolve.
I don't think there's a lot of forethought going into this plan of hers.
I know. Eat the money.
Yeah.
Six officials in central China have been punished for dozing off in a meeting on how to motivate lazy bureaucrats. So the government sends down, okay, we're tired of lazy bureaucrats. We're going to have a little seminar on how to keep you guys motivated. They have a meeting, and they dozed off.
Listen, we really need you guys to pay attention and take the... Bob, someone wake up, Bob.
The president has been pushing for crackdowns on corrupt extravagance and dereliction of duty with local politicians, so... The Communist Party Discipline Bureau.
There's a partying group of guys.
Exactly.
One more time with that title.
The Communist Party Discipline Bureau.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. They have ways of making you talk.
That's right. They named the mid-level officials and said they had to write self-criticisms and then make public apologies.
Okay, that's not bad. While not wearing pants. Hold it right
there. Discipline Bureau, let me see your papers.
Sounds like a fun time.
It sounds like a cartoon.
That's right.
So the CPD.
The CPD.
The CPD.
Wow, you guys look like you had a pretty bad weekend. I was out and ran into the CPD.
Yeah.
Pretty rough.
Custody.
All right, let me get a break and come back with more on this, The Morning Blaze.
You are listening to the smooth sounds of The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On The Blaze Radio Network!
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Continue our Friday leftovers now. A Daytona Beach man.
Whoa.
Where's Daytona Beach?
That's Florida.
That's my neck of the woods.
Yeah, that's what I said. He's probably a relative. A Daytona Beach man is accused of setting fire to a patrol car last year. Cops say 40-year-old Frederick Davis.
No,
we're not related to you. 40-year-old Frederick Davis is the person who torched the car and then called 911 twice. To say the arson was a welcoming mat for the new Volusia County Sheriff Mike Chitwood. So he torches the car and then goes, it's a welcoming mat for the new sheriff.
New sheriff in town,
sheriff.
The patrol car was set on fire at a shop. It was in the shop for service when it was set on fire. Just after it was set on fire, a call came into 911 saying, you let Mike Chitwood know that was his welcoming effing mat. Apparently, he didn't feel confident that they would relay the message to the new sheriff, Mike Chitwood. Apparently, he didn't feel that they were actually going to go through with it, so he called back. The dispatcher first of all, the guy called and says, yeah.
Me again.
I called earlier. Just want to make sure you got that message for Chitwood. And the dispatcher, because, see, there's more than one of them, said, message for Chitwood?
Don't see it here.
And he said, yeah, let him know that was his effing welcoming mat over there. Trace that, bitch. And guess what they did?
They traced that
bitch. Yeah. That's right, they did. Then they linked Davis, the man who made the call and allegedly set the car on fire, with DNA left at the scene. Then matched his voice on the 911 calls to a courtroom recording of him in 2015.
Wow. This is some high-level investigation here.
Well, you go after the new sheriff, what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
He was arrested Friday, and guess what they did? They rolled out the effing welcoming mat at the Seminole County Jail. Tell me, if you're a guard there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if I'm the sheriff.
Yep.
I go to the guards and I go, okay, when this guy gets here, you make sure you keep rolling out the welcoming effing mat for him.
Yep. All the way to his cell.
That's right. Yeah. You keep reminding
him.
Every
day.
This is your welcoming effing mat.
Yeah.
Wow.
He'll be really sorry he ever even thought of that.
Right. What a colossal fail. I mean, I've got to believe the sheriff's going to take that pretty seriously. Threat on him, right?
Yep.
There's nothing to do on Daytona Beach anyway, so.
It's the beach. You go to the beach.
No, not anymore.
That car's on fire.
Why not?
It's not even good beach anymore.
Oh, okay. You used to be able to like drive right along the beach. Can you? You can't still do that anymore, can you?
A Florida woman who backed her car up through a neighbor's home blamed the whole thing on her flip-flops.
They do get in their way when they drive.
She was backing up when her foot slipped off the brake, got stuck under the gas pedal, causing the car to crash through the home across the street. She went through it backwards, like this.
Remember when they used to call them thongs?
I do, so but she didn't get her thong stuck. Right, okay. She got her flip-flop stuck.
Right, yeah.
She said, I've been driving in flip-flops my whole life. I don't know what that is doing that, apparently. Okay. Her car plowed through the front window and ended up about 20 feet in the from the kitchen where a young boy was just eating cereal. Now, fortunately, nobody...
He looked up with his cereal.
Huh. Well, that's a little weird. Now, in that scenario, you know what I would have done?
What?
I would have kept eating the cereal.
Oh, yeah. It's like, wow.
I don't even know who would have gotten up from the table.
Mom got me entertainment.
Mom, you want to come down here and see this?
Somebody see you here.
Actually, no. I would have said, come quick. We're out of Fruit Loops. I can't reach them. I have no concerns
about that. There's a car in the way. I cannot get to them.
Tell us what you've learned today. The hashtag we're looking for on Twitter is what I learned today. Hashtag what I learned today. Back with more in a minute on this, The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.
The collision of common sense and comedy. This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
At Doc Thompson Show on Twitter with the hashtag what I learned today from World of Spots TMB number 42. The Alamo doesn't have a basement.
Who knew? There's no Alamo. Basement? I mean, there's no basement in the Alamo.
Wait a minute, what? There's no basement in the Alamo? Sorry, all questions must be submitted at the end. Cal's Lawnmower tweeting, no truth to the rumor that real Chris Cruz is moving back to Florida and joining the police academy.
Done that.
He's already a cop. We got to get the hashtag no truth to the rumor. We got to use that again because we've used that in the past. We should use that again. It's a good way for us to mock people. Okay, get him in. It's at Doc Thompson Show, at Cal79, at Real Chris Cruz. Joining us now is Martin Lindstrom, author of Small Data, the tiny clues that uncover huge trends. How are you, Martin?
I'm fantastic, and you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. Love the idea of trends and being able to predict some things based on some things that are happening now. So tell me a little bit about your book.
Well, it's crazy. What is happening is that we have become so obsessed with technology these days that we really forget about being human. I just want to give you an example here. Are you the type of person when you sit at home and you use your remote control and it's flat for battery, then you are the type of person squeezing extra hard to get the last drop of battery out of it?
Yeah, and then shaking it and twisting it and moving it out,
put it back in, switch spaces.
Me too.
Yeah.
Listen. 85% of everything we do every day is deeply irrational. And what my book is all about, Small Data, is all about understanding what I define as seemingly insignificant observations we make in our lives, things which make a huge impact. So what I basically did was to travel around the world and move in and spend time with more than 2,000 consumers' homes across 77 countries over the last decade to understand how we live, how we place our shoes, how we brush our teeth, and what it means for who we really are as people. And of course, in the end of the day, I was then linking together with how we can turn around brands or change the world.
That's really interesting. And I've been fascinated by this in the past. And I see one of the things you mentioned is a worn out pair of sneakers was the unexpected clue that led to Lego's recent historic turnaround, because they had had some hard times. Now they've kind of turned the company around.
Absolutely. You know, in 2002, Lego was close to bankruptcy. And what happened was that the Lego company was obsessed with big data. They thought that the instant gratification generation had arrived. And because of that, they changed the size of those tiny bricks to gigantic building blocks. These kids could build a castle in a matter of minutes rather than hours. Now, what happens was, at Christmas 2002, this down 31%. And as a consequence, the company was close to bankruptcy. So this small outbreaker group decides to move into the home of a 12-year-old kid. And they basically say to this kid, "What are you most proud of?" as they meet him in his bedroom. And the kid is replying back and saying, "I'm most proud of those ones." And he points at an old worn-down pair of sneakers standing on the shelf in his bedroom. And of course, this team from Lego is completely puzzled around that because they expected him to reply, you know, Nintendo Station or Sony or something like that. But he didn't. So, of course, they ask him why. And he replies back, "Listen, I'm the best skater in town. But for me to prove that, I need some evidence. You see, when I'm a good skater, you slide down the skateboard at a certain angle. And exactly at that angle, it's creating a certain wear and tear on the side of my soul. And that is my evidence I'm number one in town." And that was the moment where Lego woke up. And the reason why was because they realized that we're just witnessing a revolution. You see, if a kid is prepared to spend hundreds, if not thousands of hours of fine-tuning the angle of a wear and tear on the shoe, why wouldn't a kid spend hundreds or if not thousands of hours of playing with Legos? So Lego really went back to the drawing board. They changed the size of those gigantic building blocks and introduced small bricks again. And that was really the beginning of the Lego movie as well. They created alliances with Harry Potter and Star Wars. And I guess the rest is history. Today, Lego is not only the biggest toy brand in the world, they also recently were announced to be the biggest brand in the world. And all of that happened because of a worn-down.
That's an incredible story and their success now since then. Yeah, you're right. I could see how you'd say, okay, let's do some bigger blocks. It could be faster. It could be, you know, and that's what we a lot of us believed, especially, you know, 2000, 2005, right through there, that it's faster, faster, faster because technology is moving faster. But you're right. With a toy like that, it's something you want to invest the time in. You want to put in some hours creating.
I think the issue is that we're not present anymore. Let me just ask you a question. Mm-hmm. What is the first thing you're touching when you wake up in the morning?
What is the first thing I'm thinking?
Touching?
Touching. Oh, touching. My phone.
Yeah. Listen, here's the issue. We're at work in bed. I mean, I don't need to tell you that the bed is designed for two purposes, not three purposes, right?
It's not work when I'm in bed, Martin. Let me tell you about that.
So here's what's happening. You know, we're at work in bed. We're at work when they go to the bathroom. I'm going to tell you a crazy story. We did a recent study in New York City where we were testing young kids between the age of 12 and 15 years of age. And listen to this, Doc. This is crazy. One third of these young kids are on the phone when they're in the shower. Right? on the phone when you're having breakfast, we're on the phone doing work, on the way to work, and at work, we're doing private stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is we have no transformation in our lives anymore. And the best way for me to illustrate that is really when you go to a bar, I bet you're like me. We're sitting in the bar, we're waiting for someone to show up. And what do? We grab our phone
mm-hmm.
and we do something, anything with it so we don't look like a complete loser, right? Now, here's the three consequences of doing that. First, we don't meet anyone. You know, I was just spending some time in a bar in New York City the other day, and I spoke to the bartender. He told me, we never talk to our guests anymore because they're so busy on the phone. Number two, which is even worse, we don't see anything. But the worst thing is that we never get bored anymore. And boredom is the foundation for having that space you need to be creative. And that means creativity is appearing. So technology is amazing. Yes, I think we all get that point. But the reality is right now that we are not present in them. When was the last time you were present? Because that is generating the creativity. So what small data is all about is to make us become present. So we first of all basically recover our creativity. It is for us to meet and see things around us to create a point of differentiation and build powerful brands or change things around ourselves. And I think it's desperately needed in a world where we all more or less are bumping into each other these days because we're just not looking up anymore.
You know what? I think you're right. And boredom may actually not even be the best way to describe it, at least for me. I have two times when I'm most creative. Number one is kind of uncontrollable, is that when I'm in a twilight sleep, when I'm just waking up in the morning, if I don't have to get right up, you know, maybe it's a weekend where I got, you know, 20 minutes to kind of wake up slowly and I'm kind of in and out of sleep. I guess it's because my mind is clear and that's when I get creative inspiration. The other time is when I, in a calculated way, have a problem to solve and it needs to be creative, or I'm writing something. And I will get up from my computer and I will just walk down the hall, stare out the window a moment and just kind of let my thoughts go. And I've done this for years. And usually it's not an hour. It's 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, I got an idea. And then I go and do.
Do you know what's funny? You're saying it. There's two things happening here. First of all, have you noticed how we always walk around in small circles when we're on our cell phone?
I know.
It just shows our human behavior. The reason why is actually because we disconnected through our other senses. So we try desperately to connect into other channels, but we can't subconsciously. Remember, 85% of everything we do every day is subconscious. But the second thing I want to tell you, which is crazy, and it may be you can't resonate with this, but I think a lot of your listeners can. I call it the water moment. You know, when I want to be creative, I jump into the pool. And I swim. And most of my book, actually, I wrote in the pool. Some people are in the shower. Some people are running. Some people are sitting in the car. But we have this moment where we allow time to be free-floating, to reflect on life. Now, we don't allow that time anymore because we rationally feel we are unproductive. So you need to make appointments with yourself. You need to say, what is the time I should use to reflect on things? So it's almost like you are defragmenting your computer, so to speak. It's just your brain instead. It just makes sense.
No, it does. Absolutely. I think what it is, it's when you let when you stop controlling your mind and you let those subconscious things just kind of filter back and forth. You know, too often we're like, I've got to do this. And you're focused hard, you know, pushing down on this problem, whatever, as opposed to just letting it all just kind of arrive.
You think at some point your mind naturally brings up to the surface the most creative or most important part of what you're trying to solve?
We've had this thing, Martin, for years. People have tried to bridge or break the barrier between conscious and subconscious. I mean, that's what even some people that took LSD and stuff did. So there's some answer in there, right? I mean, the breaking of that wall.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is the issue right now. We need to come to terms with the fact that we are human beings, and I think we're forgetting it. So all these big data are great. I'll give you an example. I mean, a major bank in the U.S. just recently concluded that the reason why they had such a big churn, so people just moving around with their accounts and closing accounts, was because they're unhappy with the bank. So the bank decided to send out direct mails to basically, you know, offer them, you know, better interest rate and lower fees. Just before they send out those direct mail, one clever guy in the bank said, hey, why don't we talk to our customers? So they did that. They spent time in their homes. And they realized the reason why the majority of these customers were leaving the bank was, in fact, because they were undergoing a divorce. So they had to separate their accounts, and they both had to leave. And I think we live in a world right now a little bit where we become, you know, we become too focused on the data, believing this has the real answer. I mean, a good example was back in 2012, where Google, in fact, were able to predict the flu outbreak. I'm sure you recall that study. It was a major study in the U.S. where they, within 4 or 5 days before a flu break would happen, could predict it based on our search inquiry.
Wow.
Now, what just happened recently was really interesting. Google was completely wrong. The Center of Disease Control in the U.S. went back to the data and realized that the consumers, they were typing in those search inquiries, but because they're typing them in, other people got curious and they were typing it in as well, and suddenly that became viral in its own right. So the numbers were twice of what they should have been. So Google looked more about the correlation than the causation, the reason why. Now, small data is all about the causation. It's finding the reason why things are happening, the deep inner insight, and then you can correlate that and verify that by using data. I think we have come to a world now where we're looking so much about correlations, but we forget about the causation, the reason why things are happening, which, by the way, explains the reason why no one was able to predict Trump when he broke through. Now, we had a team traveling around the U.S., and we saw the small data. And we noticed the writing on the wall. It was fascinating to see how that insight was completely overseen by the majority of the press. And it's not to take side of either of the camps.
No.
They sometimes become blind. Simply become blind here, right?
We sometimes know things that aren't really true. And sometimes we want certain things or want to believe them. Not necessarily because we wanted an outcome, but we just expected things to happen. The book is Small Data, The Tiny Clues That Uncover Huge Trends. Martin Lindstrom. Is it martinlindstrom.com?
It is martinlindstrom.com. You can find me on facebook.com/martinlindstrom or #martinlindstrom. And that's, of course, on Twitter.
Really good stuff. So we'll tweet out a link to that stuff, Martin, and we hope to have you back at some point, okay?
Fantastic. Good to hear you, Wallace, and happy search for those small data.
Thank you, sir. Martin Lindstrom. Love it, love it, love it. I love stuff like that.
Fascinating stuff.
It's fascinating, first of all, just as an observer. Wow, that's really cool. But you can also really use that stuff.
You can learn.
When we talk about our entrepreneur stuff, you don't have to have the billion-dollar idea here. You read a book like this, and there's some other similar type books or whatever. Mm-hmm. This seems really good. You may just get the one that gives you a little supplemental income. You know, $2,500 extra dollars a month.
Yeah.
Wow, absolutely. That's great. You know, an extra $30,000 to get a kid's college fund. Maybe whatever. I mean, that's really cool stuff.
And the big takeaway, I think, is things happen for reasons that you may not think they are, like trends. Like, for example, the whole, like, the bank example he gave. All these people were closing their banks and leaving. The bank thought people were unhappy. In reality, people were getting divorced.
They had a need.
They had to close their accounts down because it's...
That's also an opportunity.
Yeah,
then.
Exactly.
Well, do you know what I mean about what we believe things that aren't true? You know, we want to believe. People wanted to believe that Hillary was going to do this, not because they wanted Hillary. Maybe it's just the opposite. You're like, oh, we've been screwed for so long. I'm going to get screwed again. Mm-hmm. You just believe things or know things that aren't necessarily true. Mm-hmm. Got to tell you about a great company. It's Brick House Nutrition. They have a product called Dawn to Dusk that both Chris Cruz and Cal have tried for a while. They are absolutely in love with it. It's an extended-release energy supplement, which lasts up to 10 hours, increases energy, improves mood, and stimulates your brain. Chris has a problem crashing in the afternoon on my floor, so I'm thrilled with the product that he's taking it. Cal has a problem because he has the kid and the wife to go home to, so he hits the wall.
He doesn't drink coffee.
And I don't drink coffee. Anything that'll give me a boost of energy when in the middle of the day, especially when it's not caffeine related, I'm on it. This stuff is great.
Right, and this is slow release, so it's not an up and a down. No, for
exactly,
you guys.
And it has some interesting things, because when you usually take caffeine pills, you feel jitter.
Yeah,
right. There's no energy. There's no jitters. I'm telling you, I forgot to take it that one day. I literally crashed horribly.
I know, very frustrating.
It lasts up to 10 hours, and I'm literally loving this product.
So yeah, with the other stuff, it's you get that huge impact, right? And then it slow fades off or whatever. So if you need that extra energy later in the day, you got to take more or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is the something that just gives you that extra pick me up all day. It's called Dawn to Dusk from Brick House Nutrition. And if you want to try it, they're going to give you a 15% off your first order. Go to brickhousedoc.com. Brickhouse, D-O-C, my name, doc.com, and use the code D-O-C when you check out. So you order, it'll ask you for a promotional code, enter D-O-C. So brickhousedoc.com, promo code D-O-C. This is...
Speak your mind. 888-900-3393. This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
TMB Anonymous Source. Hashtag what I learned today. When at real Chris Cruz says he's literally loving Dawn to Dusk, I get concerned and grossed out.
Oh, God.
I think you mean figuratively. Although.
Here we go again.
Although. Literally now means figuratively as well.
Makes no sense.
I know. So many people, and this is frustrating for me when I hear stuff like this. There was literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
I figuratively could eat a cow.
That doesn't mean that you can actually eat a cow.
An entire cow right now.
But literally you can actually eat a whole cow.
I'm figuratively as strong as an ox. Literally, I am not. Okay? These are the types of things. There's the difference. But so many people have gotten literally as a crutch that they just say, I literally could do this. Literally, you hear people, especially younger generations.
Right, they don't know
that now the dictionary reflects that literally can also mean figuratively.
So they change the rules of grammar because people are stupid? That's what it is?
That's exactly what they do. Now, that's frustrating, right?
Yes, very
much
so.
It's annoying. The problem? All of the stuff that we know as the current rules of grammar before they did that, or rules of speech, English, got that way by people changing the rules.
That's
meanings true. Meanings of words. Gay is a good example, obviously, right? Gay's for a happy. Meaning of right. word. Now it means
Chris
whatever.
Cruz is very gay.
I'm always gay.
Right.
Very gay. Extremely gay.
And very homosexual. Both. But that's very different. So these things change. Even grammar. I mean, if you look back a couple hundred years ago, we do things very like that's acceptable now. I know it's frustrating. It's annoying. It's whatever. You feel like you're dumbing it down. But the thing that you think is acceptable and good and highbrow, that is dumbed down.
Because then you can't. How do you have rules and know what grammar is if people just keep changing whenever someone?
That's language.
Whenever
that's
the trends.
Speech. That's
grow.
How it is. I know. It's frustrating, but that's just what it is.
So I can just start saying, "Hey, that you know what? Stupid that is. Stupid that is." Say that enough times, everybody can change it.
Dude, that's coming. Trust me.
Coming. It is.
I got a story about that coming up in a minute too.
Blaze with Doc Thompson. The Blaze Radio Network.
This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Trying the new tea from American Pride Roasters Coffee.
We did. We tried it. Very good. Well, I already tried it. Did you just try it?
No, I tried it before, but I'm trying some again this morning.
Yeah.
This is really good.
By the way, love the berries.
Yeah, I have there's a fail though.
Uh-oh.
This is
Are you sure you want to put this on the air?
No, I mean, it's kind of a good fail.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. In that they've done really well. American Pride Roasters Coffee, which is the official coffee, the Morning Blaze, do a great job with coffee. The tea is really good. There's only one flavor, which is good.
Oh, yes.
I'm just saying I would like to see some other things. Based on their success, it's almost like, when a new cereal line or a new candy bar or a new flavor, where you're like, I want to see what they come up
burger.
With next.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. A lot of times the fruity teas are weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't enjoy, the apple tea or the blueberry tea or whatever. They always end up kind of like sour. And I don't drink with any sugar or anything in my tea.
No, you drink everything
drink straight
up.
Right. But they end up kind of sour and it's like kind of novelty. This is just a really nice flavor. So check it out. And also try the great coffees at AmericanPrideRoasters.com.
Can I send a suggestion? Is that okay? Or will he get hurt?
I don't know. Depends on what it is.
I suggest some green tea.
Green tea would be really cool.
You know?
That would be, because I enjoy the green tea.
I love the green tea.
Green tea is super healthy, by the way.
Or maybe some black tea. I love the black tea as well.
Which I think the white, the black, and the green teas are all from the same
brand.
Tea leaf.
Yeah.
It's like when they pick the leaf.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all uber. One of the healthiest things, if you look at any of the lists, the best things for cancer, the best thing for weight loss, the best top 10 things for this, food wise, green tea's on
green
every damn
list. Green tea is on all of them.
It is uber healthy.
Lipton made a whole side. They just contained green tea, and they just had
cinnamon.
Exactly.
Try it. AmericanPrideRoasters.com and try it, and I'm sure they've.
You
got
You can tweet out a link about it.
Maybe you can do that.
Okay.
You can do that, and I'll retweet you out there. Coming up next week, I will be guest hosting on the Glenn Beck radio program.
Whoa! Wait, what?
We're off for Memorial Day.
We are
which is Monday.
Wait
yes.
a minute. You never told me this.
I mean, perhaps I should rephrase that.
Oh, okay.
I'm off for Memorial Day.
Oh, okay. Because the radio station's still on Memorial Day.
Yeah. The show is taking a hiatus.
Okay.
And Glenn's show as well. But okay. You still have to be here. There's nothing to do, but you have to come in.
And what do I do with my hands?
Just you keep them so everybody can see them.
Okay.
So that's Monday. But then Tuesday through Friday, 4 straight days of Doc Thompson on the Glenn Beck radio program.
Just you?
There may be an appearance by Chris Cruz.
I'm invited?
Other people. Possibly.
On the TV or behind the scenes? Because last time I was on the TV, a lot of made fun of my shirt. It was
very make funnable.
Yes, it was.
It really was. So,
and I would call homotype sexual because we're very colorful.
I'm working on a couple of little gems for the Glenn Beck program.
Ooh. Like special guests? Oh, am I saying too much?
No, I got something else I'm planning. I got a couple of tricks up my sleeve, which our audience who appreciate the edgy satirical.
Oh, yes, we're doing that, yes. Oh, okay, now I know what you're saying. Okay,
I got a couple of things I'm working on. Yes. Hopefully they'll pan out. Glenn Beck's program is programming note for you all next week. Of course, we'll still be on the air Tuesday through Friday on this program as well, so you get 6 hours back-to-back of this show. That's all next week. Quick shout-out to the Cleveland Cavaliers, too. Hometown for me. They're going to the finals. And somebody tweeted me overnight. They're like, Doc, better give a little shout-out to the Cavs.
Rewind.
Yeah.
What the hell are you talking about?
The NBA, the basketball.
Oh, you can just throw stuff like that.
Well, I don't follow sports so well, but
me neither.
You know, they're the champs from last year, and it took forever for Cleveland to get a national championship again since the 60s. And I always appreciate seeing Cleveland do well.
That's good.
But here's the failure.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Cleveland, who is always takes it right up to the end, and then you failed. We're so close. We're two outs away from winning the World Series. Fail. Red right 88. The kick, the drive, the fumble, the shot. These are all names of failures of theirs, Chris, right? They've gotten cocky.
Oh, that's not good.
I don't remember who it was that tweeted me over the night. Doc better give a shout out to the Cavs or whatever. And I'm like, they're going to the finals. We've been to the finals all kinds of times.
Yeah, don't get too cocky now.
Right, you think you're automatically going to win it. As a true Cleveland fan, I say, maybe you wait till you show me that you're actually a champ.
When you're holding the trophy.
That's what I'm saying.
That is when you celebrate.
Because we should have won the World Series last year,
what
too.
What happened?
The Cubs.
No, but what happened?
We were up 3-1.
Okay.
3-1. What happened? Cleveland happened. So, good job, but as if you're a true Cleveland fan, you'd be saying, maybe we wait a little while.
Let's wait till we hold the trophy.
See what happened
actually,
here.
You know what? Let's wait till we hold the trophy and a week after.
To make sure there's no objection.
Sure there's no penalties.
By the way, I'm waiting to see who wins this year to make sure we actually won last year.
Last year.
A whole year for them to come up with something.
Is there still some gray area on that?
For Cleveland, they'll come up with something. They're technically you won 20 years ago, but we found a discrepancy. We're going to have to take that trophy for
the
you.
The last shot, you know, the foot.
Sorry.
The foot was aiming to the east.
It
was
supposed to be to the west. All of those away, all of those victories. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully they win it just for hometown.
Yeah. Can I say who's going to be with you on Friday next week on the Glenn Beck program?
I don't think you should. I think you keep that one a secret.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you followed that after the Cavs, so people are going,
I know.
Is it? I'm just going to stop right there.
Okay.
I'm just going to cat out of the bag right there.
No.
Hey, got an update for you on what's going on with the Manchester terror attacks. They've arrested more people overnight.
They have.
I got to give England credit here. They're at least arresting a lot of people. Maybe they have nothing to do with the attack. Maybe this is just show, but it looks like they're doing
something.
Lot. And from the looks of who they're arresting and some
they're
of the
right.
background, it looks like they're right. So here's the update. 22 victims, 21 of the 22 have been now named. There's still one unnamed person of the people who were killed in the attack. An off-duty Cheshire police officer was named among the dead. Of the 116 people injured
that
lived, 75 still in the hospital.
Yeah, one of the news, and I saw them on TV, so sad. These parents, they have a daughter in the hospital. The doctor is trying to wake her.
She won't wake up.
She won't wake up.
Mm-hmm. 23 of the 75 still in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
Critical condition.
Wow.
Still, 23.
Wow.
If you were a betting person and wanted to bet on something inappropriate.
This is it. Number's going to go high.
it looks like those 22 victims.
We are 23 dead.
22 dead right
22
now.
22 dead.
There's, that will likely climb. Mm-hmm. Of the 23 in critical care, five of them are children.
Yeah, I saw that.
In critical care.
I saw that.
Horrible. Now, this guy, this dirtbag, yeah, who did this, there are claims that he may have done this because of America's involvement in the Middle East and let's say the West in general, America, yeah, the West, and our bombing of places in Syria, for example, or Libya.
They're always connected to that somehow.
And specifically children, that maybe he was upset because he had saw, yeah, had seen Americans bombing.
A bomb, yeah.
And yeah, we've killed children.
Yeah, that is true.
That has happened.
Casualties, is that is one of the things that happen when you're in war.
We will never get beyond this if that's your attitude. If
that's
what you're thinking.
No, mm-mm.
This America is not playing, or should not be playing, the West should not be playing a tit for tat. This is not a, oh yeah, well then we're going to bomb you. That's not what we're doing here. Mm-mm. We are actually trying to, and in many cases have, saved a lot of people. You know what? In World War II, some children died,
mm-hmm,
because of Allied bombing. Some children died in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of kids died. Do you know how many people America and the Allied forces saved immediately during the World War II era? And how many people were saved in the decades following because we took out some of those dirtbags and liberated people? Unfortunately, in war, which most of the time America has not said, hey, let's be the aggressor here. Most of the time, we've not done that. Yet people die. Children die sometimes. This guy thinks it's a tit for tat. Unfortunately. I don't know if there's any way to convince these knuckleheads it's not, because according to people who knew this kid, he was a drug user, both pots, alcohol. He was not pious. He was out partying. He was violent. And they said he was not bright.
Yeah.
His people who knew him said, no, this kid was not smart.
Mm-hmm.
The one friend said, let me make sure I get it right here. They asked, you know, about his studies and how, mm-hmm, smart. And they said, no, he was not. And they said, if you found out that he was, you know, had really IQ or whatever, and would you believe? And they're like, 100%. Absolutely. This kid just was not smart. So what's happening here is you've got people like him who cannot process all of this information, who are so upset by the emotion. Remember, we always talk about emotion, yep, people on the left. Folks, this stuff isn't easy. Emotion is easy. I'm pissed. I'm upset. Look at the children dead. Something must be done. And then something heinous. Most of the world is nuanced. Yeah, sometimes people should be acting and they don't, and they take their time and you're frustrated. But it's nuanced. It's not as simple as saying, kids died because of the West bombing. We just bombed more in Syria.
Yes, we did.
Some children died, by the way.
Yeah.
And I saw headlines of people trying to put that in the headline because we're pissed at what happened, mm-hmm, in Manchester. It is not the same.
No, it's not.
In Egypt, they opened up, we just had breaking news this morning. Dozens of people killed. 36 of them killed when somebody opened, a couple of people opened fire on a bus full of Coptic
Christians.
This is
old school mobster kind of killing.
And that's what we have here. Simple people, people who are brainwashed. This is not your traditional terror cells. It is, but think of it more like the mob. Think of this more like gangs. It's the same mentality.
It is, and that's one of the things that we treated them, you know, like, oh, you know, listen, no. You treat them like the mob. They're treating us like crap right now. Well, they're treating the whole West world like crap right now. They just were like, boom, we're going to kill you no matter what.
So when you hear all this stuff all weekend long, I wish you'd do something. I wish you'd take a moment and remember what this weekend is, Memorial Day, and say, well, we're thinking about all that terrorism, guess what? There are a whole lot of people that have kept you safe by giving up their life. Memorial Day, although it's nice to honor veterans, is not about veterans. It's about the veterans, the people who died in service to America, paying the ultimate price. That's Monday. Just take a moment and say, thank you, in your own way. This is The Morning Blaze.
You're waking up to The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Got to tell you about Relief Factor, the all-natural anti-inflammatory. It's helping thousands of Blaze audience members and Blaze employees alleviate their chronic pain. I take it for my sciatica when it flares up, but a lot of people take it for their chronic pain, something that's been with them forever. If you have chronic pain, if you know somebody that has chronic pain, why not try it? It's only $19.95 for a three-week quick start pack that'll let you know if it works for you. Most people, though, if they say, it didn't work for... it's because they only tried it a day or two. It's going to take you 7 to 10 days to make sure it's working for you. Just call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, or go to relieffactor.com to get your three-week quick start pack.
Can't go wrong.
No, most chronic pain is because of inflammation in the body. And unfortunately, most people end up on narcotics to try to mask it. Don't mask it. Get the inflammation to go
attack
away.
Attack the source. It's the inflammation. That's what you want to get rid of.
And you'll also get rid of the pain. 800-500-8384 or go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. All righty. That is it, ladies and gentlemen. The end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, where's the music?
Is the fader up? Turn that. The fader up.
There
fader
we
up.
Go.
Well, there we go.
Pro criminal tip number 1512, your lawn mowing biz should avoid the home of the person you stole the lawnmower from.
Yeah, that's a good tip. You know, you don't want to steal from the guy you're mowing.
We learned if Chris Cruz ever finds $7,000, he will promptly turn in all $2,500.
Every single one of them. Every single
one.
By that,
I mean he'll quickly turn in all $1,500.
Yep.
Here's your $700.
Here's your $20.
We learned when rolling out the welcoming effing mat for the new sheriff, he will then reciprocate by rolling out the effing welcoming mat to you at his jail. And we learn goat yoga is Cal's new restaurant / workout program. Cal, spin of the Niles radio style, Dallas Tech Sporting. What about anything you learned today?
I learned Glenn Beck wears his World War II memorabilia and Nazi uniform only on Nazi Fridays.
Only, not the rest of the time.
Yeah, he's only one that participates.
It only
weirdly
comes
enough.
Out on Nazi Fridays. I learned Chris is a radical Puerto Rican forcing his food on me.
I thought we'd gotten over this crisis.
He brings it up. I'm over
this
it.
Sounds like he was over it. You're poking him in the eye. Yeah,
I had to learn something. Wow. That was one of the things. Right. I learned that while campaigning, all officials running for office should have a 3-round feats of strength.
Yes, they should.
That's part of it. It's
Chris Cruz, what have anything the listeners learned today?
The bearded patriot, gotta love when the brain dead TMB call out your grammar mistakes.
I know, yeah, because I have them all the time.
World of Fox TMB number 2, did Doc Thompson just literally out Chris Cruz as gay? No worries, Doc. We all knew that already.
Gay isn't happy. Gay isn't happy.
Yeah, I'm always gay.
And homosexual.
Yeah. Homeward Bound. Yoda and Forrest Gump are making our grammar rules now.
they are. I forgot to tell the grammar rule mistake.
Are they?
You know what?
Yes.
I just realized I forgot to tell the grammar rule mistake.
You also forgot.
I'm just forgetting so much. And I forgot the rules on procrastination. I'll do them Tuesday because we're off on Monday. What else do we have coming up on Tuesday?
Well, Monday is a day off. It is laborious.
We just said Tuesday.
What does Glenn have coming up on his show following
coming
up
in hour two, Bill O'Reilly.
Good.
Every Friday, Bill O'Reilly joins us.
What is Glenn wearing today?
A Coke and a smile.
Oh, okay. Because I haven't seen him yet.
Actually, a Perrier and a smile.
Remember the Morning Blaze today, Chris Cruz production, Six Emperor Tyrannus. Good night, Steve Cannon.
Wherever you are.
Anya, now you go home.
Oh, he's just walking in.
Oh, there,
there he is. Hey, boss.
Hey, boss.
Looking great. Looking
the Morning
great.
Blaze with Doc Thompson. The Blaze Radio Network.